This is Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Not many games left of the season. You got to enjoy them. New day tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow and focus on the next game.
It's a ringing endorsement from the Flames captain. Welcome to Sportsnet Today, everyone. That's basically how I go through every, not just like the hockey season, every day. Like, yeah, I just got to find a way to enjoy it. You know, tomorrow's a new day, so we'll just go out there and try to grind through. Welcome, Sportsnet Today, everyone. I'm Peter Klein from the DL Basement Systems downtown studio for Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Wet basement? We have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They are all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. That was a different read than the last time I was here, and I was not expecting that. We got a good show for you guys today. We're going to be talking about the Flames. Can they find their fun in the next 12 games? We will discuss that and more with Julian McKenzie coming up at 1:30. We will talk about the world of basketball, specifically the collegiate level, with Haley McGoldrick coming up at 2 o'clock. I have been told we will have explosions coming up at 2:30. Oh, jeez. I didn't even say the thing. The gun went off. So we're going to be doing March Madness Bracket Busters coming up at 2:30 and a whole lot more. If you haven't figured it out by now, Logan Gordon isn't here right now. He's going to be hopping on with Steinberg at 4 o'clock today. My name is Peter Klein, and thank y'all very much for starting your week with us today. Around the table, I'm Peter. You knew that already. He is Shan. Say hi, Shan.
Hello, PK. Welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And in the other room is Cam. I don't know if we allow you to talk, but if we do,
sometimes.
Go. Oh, okay. Good.
Not often.
Let's keep it that way. All right. So last night, the Calgary Flames, a hard-fought loss against the Sabres of Buffalo. And if you are Team Tank, which from my parachuting in and out of here every now and then, I've gathered that a lot of you are. If you are Team Tank, last night was perfect. They played hard, we saw some positive things, and they lost in regulation. That is 100% what the Tankathon people are looking for. You know what? Go out there, give us an honest effort, make the game relatively enjoyable so that we're not spending 2.5 hours clawing our eyes out, but for the love of all things good and holy, feel free to lose. And so the Flames did that absolutely perfectly last night. Obviously, we are at the point in the season where wins and losses, if you're hanging on them, by all means, I'm not here to dictate how you sports fan do that. But we're not exactly hanging on wins and losses at this point. According to Money Puck today, the Flames have a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs. Insert your dumb and dumber line here. So we do have to look at some of the other stuff. A lot of the things are going to affect this team next year and all of that. And I do think last night you saw a few positives there. First of all, that Buffalo team looks miserable to play against. They absolutely need a little bit more goal scoring. But, Shan, I don't know if you saw the same thing as me. Last night, it felt like they had like 8 guys in the defensive zone because they have, as they talked about on the broadcast, 4 very high-level defensemen. All of them are tall. All of them are long. Their sticks, just go-go gadget arms everywhere. The Flames had the puck a lot, but it never felt comfortable for them last night against a really good defensive Buffalo team.
I don't know if we've really seen a team do this. And that's what bringing Bowen Byram in, it's like, whoa, they already had Dahlin. They right. already have Samuelson. They already have Owen Power. You bring in another left-handed defenseman in Bowen Byram. It's interesting, but I really like the way that Buffalo's going because whatever they've done, it hasn't worked so far.
Right.
They haven't made the playoffs since 2013 here. So, yeah I think, but you're right. They have so many of those big, strong defensemen that they could be good going forward.
Yeah, and like the last time the Sabres made the playoffs, one of the teams they beat out to make the playoffs were the Atlanta Thrashers. That's how long it's been. So we're talking about a second team in the time since Buffalo has made the postseason. So for this Sabres team, like they are kind of the cautionary tale against what the Flames are probably doing now. But we'll get into why I think the Flames kind of buck what Buffalo is doing here in a little bit. But one of the positives I took from last night, I thought the top line looked quite effective. Again, as effective as you can be against the team that was defending like Buffalo. But I do think they have found something now in Huberto, Sharangovich, and Kuzmenko. Maybe I'm being a bit presumptuous calling them the top line, but that's in my brain. That's how it worked. And I had said before that getting Huberto going was something that I think was really important for this team. And last night he proved you literally can just pass it into the net, as that's exactly what happened on the goal that gets credited to him. But not that you need to all of a sudden lock Kuzmenko up for 7 years or anything like that. But I do think going into next season, it's important now that Huberto is starting to play well and look comfortable. And we're probably not going to see 115-point Huberto, but he has, I think it's 28 points in 32 games now since 1 point in December. There's at least something there, and I think that is a real positive the Flames can take going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's this line, there's a reason that they get only offensive zone draws. And
yes, yeah.
We all know why. But it's true. You need to get him going. Like yeah. he was one of the most elite playmakers that we've seen when he was with Florida, and that 115 points was no joke. And yes, he was playing with some good players, but when he was playing with Sam Bennett and Anthony Duclair is when I saw him at his best. And those are not top players. Sharangovich has a wicked shot,
yeah.
And Kuzmenko is offensively he is as creative as they come, I think, and. Yeah, the plus minus might hurt a little bit, but getting him going from a point standpoint is huge because the contract's not going anywhere.
Right.
I know, you know, we've beat that horse for 2 years now. It's not going anywhere, and the way he's playing, you can't look at him and say, "Wow, he's a complete liability every night." It's you're right. You know, he passed the puck in the net. I like that. It's pretty good, but the almost a point per game pace in the last 30 games is encouraging, and I got to give him credit. I have not seen an attitude from him throughout these 2 years
yeah.
that has made me say, man, he's just cashing out.
No, 100%. And I think that is the natural inclination for a lot of people. Guy gets a $10.5 million contract, comes to a new city. It's a bit of a culture shock. I haven't checked. I don't think they're dealing with snow here on March 25th in Florida.
Probably not.
So it's a bit of a different situation, but it's odd. Like the obvious reaction is, oh yeah, he's cashed out. He doesn't even care. But you see him out there and like, I don't think when he got healthy scratched earlier, or not healthy scratched, but sat in the third period way back when in the early part of the season. Yeah. He's like ducking his head down in frustration and probably a little embarrassment too. That doesn't happen if you're just here for a paycheck. And he has, one thing he's done, I think he has, I don't want to say he's elevated Sharangovich because Sharangovich has played well, but he has made that line just feel a little bit more dangerous. And I think it kind of, clouds might be the wrong word, but I think it slightly complicates the Kuzmenko conversation because I think for a lot of people, the bringing Kuzmenko in as part of that deal was specifically, we are going to bring him in, we are going to shine him up very nice, and we are going to trade him to the highest bidder around this time next year. I still think that is probably the way that it goes, but he has such a interesting skill set. It is going to be, he will be one of those where if they do move him next year, like assuming this thing doesn't just round into shape right away, he will be one of those guys where it's like, I know this is the right move, but man, I like him on my team. His passing is so much better than I thought it was. His shot is a weapon, and he's just a big dude. Like, I think he's very tantalizing, and I think he has brought the best out of Huberto at times, and I think Huberto has brought the best out of him as well.
Yeah, I mean, Kuzmenko brings a very interesting skill set, as you mentioned. You're right, his passing is a lot better than I thought. I mean,
yeah.
He had the 39 goals, like, oh, this guy can shoot. Below the dots, he is one of the best players on the team, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have the luxury when we cover the Flames games here, we get the unedited Sportsnet feed, and we get to see some of the stuff that, you know, some people don't get to see. Watching him in warmups is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I mean, obviously, if you go to the game, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he is. You see that wicked shot. You see the things that he is able to do. I think the two of them together with the way that Sharangovich is playing, I do like that line. It is. I also like some structured checking hockey.
Right,
and you don't really get that from them. But
no, there isn't a Selke vote in the bunch. Like I fully understand that, but
yeah.
you have lines that will do that, right? Backlund and Coleman, you guys go take care of
that's
that.
That's the perfect line.
Yeah, Kadri, exactly. Kadri's fine in his own end. Yeah. We do that too. So yeah, no, like I don't mind having a pure offensive line with this team because for a little bit there was no offense anywhere. with this group, and they have at least found that. And in a league where goalies are huge and scoring kind of fluctuates a little bit, I think one thing this team was missing, even in the Gaudreau era, was a guy who could, to steal a basketball term, score from distance, right? Well, now they got two, with Sharon Govich and with Kuzmenko, and probably more than that. Anderson has a bomb of a shot that you wish he would use more if you could just get the range.
He got up to 93 yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Straight into the boards, but he got up to 93 yesterday.
It was loud.
Yeah, it was. Look, it's like the Michael Jordan in Space Jam. Like, yeah, you struck out, but you looked good striking out. Anderson, like, he misses the net, but he looks good missing the net. But, like, that is a real weapon. And I think seeing that they can find that, and yeah, like, it hasn't been just like stock arrow up the whole way with Kuzmenko the whole time, but I think that is something you can absolutely take in the next season from a Calgary Flames standpoint. And I think the biggest thing taking away from last night with this group, how many times a season ago did we see this team fall behind relatively early because of a not so great goal against the incumbent now, who has figured that problem out, but that they would fall behind early, and it was just like, all right, well, get them the next time. Here we go. And that was it. Last night, they fall behind early. It wasn't a bad goal. Anderson got kind of tied up at the blue line. Shillington got caught in between, and it's a shot you would have loved Wolf to stop, but I'm not about to make every shot on Dustin Wolf a referendum on whether he can play in the NHL or not. But that goal a season ago would have killed this team, and it would have been like they still end up losing 4-1, but we all watched that game. It wasn't a 4-1 game.
No.
It would have been a legitimate 4-1 game, and it would have been over by the second period. And then last night again, they fall behind 2-1, and it wasn't immediately after, but not long after, they send out that top line, and the response was like nothing we would have seen last year. And so I like that those are the guys where things aren't going our way. Let's try to get our momentum back. Let's put those dudes out there. That's another like real, I know I'm being overly optimistic after they lost 4-1 to a non-playoff team, but this is the stuff that we're looking for now. And I think that is a line that you can trust in those situations for next year as well.
I like what you said earlier about that game was perfect for the people that are team tank.
Yeah.
You're right. That first goal went in, that would have essentially ended that first period for the team. That's not what we saw. And these two games, Vancouver and Buffalo, you know, they go down early, sure, and the pushback was great to see, but the whole team is playing hard, and this is a group that has not given up. And, you know, playoffs, the 0.1% chance, it's totally there. But yeah. But you know, this is why you sell at the deadline if you are looking to get a better draft pick, because your team plays hard. And I think the difference in that is not having guys like Hanifin and Tanev. And I'm not trying to bring that up. I don't want to, you know, bring them back into the conversation. It's just that's if they have a couple better players that game, I think it's a different game. And
yeah.
So there's still a lot of talent on this team. Last year, I fully believe they would have made the playoffs if they had league average goaltending. And it's not like a whole lot of them were gone to start the season. So it's a team that still has a lot of promise going forward, and you know, it's not a team that's ever going to rip it down to the studs and be completely unbearable to watch.
No, and I think the big thing, and you touched on it, you didn't even know I was going here, but you let it right in there. Look at you go. But that mentality where we are going to keep battling, we are going to keep fighting, that is something I've always said. And it's been the problem. Honestly, it was the problem in Buffalo where results didn't matter at all, right? Like if you played too well, they were trading you out when they were tanking for McDavid. It was hilarious. Oh, you made 25 saves? Off to Washington you go. It was hilarious.
They did that with Allmark.
Yeah, they did it with everyone. Like it was any goalie that ran through there who played like three good games in a row, kicked him to the curb. And then they only got Jack Eichel. But Calgary's done a pretty good job of making sure that hasn't happened. And you can hear it in the mentality of the coach when he spoke after the game yesterday.
Nothing to do with morale. I don't think, like, we're here, we need to push to win hockey games. And whether you're, you know, sitting in the standings where we would like to be right now, where we're not, or we're in a situation that we are, we have to come and we have to play hard all the time, and that's responsibility that all players have. And for me, I guess that's what I get disappointed about these last two games more so than anything, because those were winnable games for us and we didn't find a way to get it done.
That is not a coach who is looking at 0.1% and being like, well, get them next year. I absolutely love that. And it sounds so simple, but just having losing not be okay in your locker room. And if you've heard me on other platforms before, that this is like the 100th time you've heard me talk about this. But the fact that results like last night, we can talk about like, yeah, Team Tank loved that last night. In that locker room, that mentality can never get in there. And I think Huska has done an awesome job of keeping that accountability. And like, I don't think when the Flames are hoisting the Stanley Cup 5 years from now, we're going to be looking back at, oh, well, it was actually March 24th when Huska was pissed they lost to Buffalo that really turned the tide of the franchise. But little things like that, I think, have to matter for guys like Zari, guys like Coronado, guys like Pospisil, who, by the way, we don't have anywhere to work it in today. The fake slap shot on the breakaway.
Incredible.
I loved it. Hey, just shoot it. Like, just get 1.1% chance of making the playoffs. Just fire it. But also loved that everyone in their driveway has tried that at least once, the fake and then go backhand. But, that type of mentality is going to help so that this doesn't turn into what Edmonton was four draft lotteries ago.
Look at Ottawa.
Ottawa, same thing, right? Buffalo, same thing. Detroit for a while, like all those times is okay. Well, yeah, results don't really matter. Looking at another sport, the 76ers named it, for God's sake, with the process, right? It was just like for 3 years, yeah, we don't really care. And now, and I'm not saying it's the only reason, but they had a pretty difficult time flipping that switch to get past, say, the second round of the playoffs. Having this type of mentality in these type of situations where you are, like you're playing a Vancouver Canucks team that can clinch a playoff spot tonight. They might win the President's Trophy, and you're battling with them down the stretch. Like, you don't win, but you're seeing what it takes. And you're playing a Buffalo team desperate to make the playoffs. Probably won't, but a Buffalo team that I think is kind of better than you are. And you're out there and you're battling and you're seeing what it takes. And you're seeing that extra level you have to get to when the lights are on brightest and the games mean the most. I just feel like maybe it only matters 5%, but in a league that is as tight as it is right now, that 5% at some point is going to matter. I just have to believe that.
One thing that sticks out to me about this city, this fan base, is that if you're working hard, that is the main thing.
Yeah.
This city of Calgary, they love their grinders. They love the fourth line. And if you build a team, like look at Anaheim too, right? You build a team of a bunch of super skilled guys, you get in the top five, that does not work. It works maybe 5% of the time, 10% of the time. And this fan base would not do well with a full tear it down to the studs rebuild. I really don't think so. Yes, you can lay out a plan and whatever, but if you commit to that mentality where you want to win every single game, it doesn't matter. Like the Vancouver game, I thought that was a really great game by Rick Tocchet and the way that he matched lines against the Flames. Yeah. It's so hard to, you're right. They could win the President's Trophy. It's hard to beat a team like that. And they still gave him a run for their money. So I didn't know where I was to start the year or I guess after that 2-7-1 start. Like, do you tear it down? Do you retool? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm happy with this plan that Craig Conroy has laid forward. And I will say, very happy with Ryan Huska and what he's done this year.
I couldn't agree more. I have loved the job that he has done, keeping everyone accountable and everything like that. And you bring up a good point about what this fan base will take and what it won't. I do think that there might be a bit more stomach for a rebuild here than you might think. But one of the things that really struck me with when Lindholm got traded, there was a picture going around. It was Lindholm, Gaudreau, Monahan, Tkachuk, and Giordano celebrating a goal. And someone posted it. I was either on Instagram or X. And it was, thanks for all the memories, guys. And I'm like, on one hand, like, yeah, sure, whatever. On the other hand, what memories? Like, this team has not had a ton of great success under these guys. And when Giordano left, I put out a poll, like, how should the Flames honor former captain Mark Giordano? And there was like 30% who wanted to build a statue. I'm like, look, like I understand you love these guys and stuff. This has not been like this era of hockey would got John Cooper fired a while ago in Tampa Bay. But this fan base is so desperate for a winner and so passionate about this team and so ready to latch on that like two playoff series wins in a decade. And we're like, oh man, thanks for the memories, # Fallout Boy, and just rolling with it. But like, this fan base, quite frankly, deserves better than some of what they've had over the last little while. And I think will absolutely, like you said, take a team that is working hard and take a team that is out there battling. And I think when the fruits of this labor start to really show up, I think they will absolutely get behind this group 100%.
And You talk about those guys, and yes, they were all great Flames. They really were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were not putting up 2 points a game in playoffs, right? And I know that's a crazy thing to ask of anybody, but you look at Mark Giordano. Mark Giordano was a great leader. He was here for a long time. He won a Norris Trophy, for God's sake. Mark Giordano was great here. Mike Modano just got a statue, and some people were even questioning that. Okay?
Right.
So I know that bringing up a point that's gone, but you're right. This city needs a winner. Like,
yeah.
What happened in 2004? Mind you, I was 3 years old. What happened in 2004 was
shut up.
Yeah, sorry.
Now I know how everyone felt when I would do stuff like that when I worked here the first time.
But you look back at that. The entire city was into it.
Totally.
People that could not care less about hockey were into it.
Yeah.
And that's, you saw it in the playoffs, that first round against Dallas, and then you're like, oh my goodness, we're playing the Oilers. This is awesome, and we're not going to talk about what happened.
Yeah.
But, like, to build a winner in this city and the way that they're starting to do it and the vision that I'm starting to see, I'm liking this a little more than what I've seen in the past.
And their coach, once again, fully bought on to that particular mentality.
You should enjoy yourself all the time. I don't think it's the last 12 games. I think when you're working hard and playing the right way and you're playing as a team like we're working to get the guys to do, you should enjoy coming to the rink all the time. So I don't think that changes.
You know, it's that type of mentality that has me in the physical shape I'm in, because the whole, well, hard work should be fun. No, I'm out on that. But I love the idea of, like, AJ Greer doing a chip and chase and just, like, laughing like a child, because that's how you have fun in hockey. It's like, oh, well, the hard work, that's where you have fun. Chipping in, bang, crashing into guys. I just think that is
hilarious.
I'm sure
he does that.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Yeah. but no, like, I think that they are going about this the right way, for sure. A couple of texts here at 960-960. Team mediocre winning a cup in 5 years. Just about drove off the road laughing so hard. I was just putting that out there for an example. That was not a prediction. The Flames are going to win a cup in 5 years.
I'm making a social card on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There you
I'll
go.
Put
yeah.
It up
that's
today.
That's going to be the breakout for today. That was just a whatever. I'd like to see Coronado play with Bax and Coleman down the stretch. He'll elevate his play very quickly there. My personal choice would be Pelche.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over it with Mangiapane playing there. I want to see him anywhere else and see what the Flames actually have in that particular player. So I agree with the premise of that text, that maybe we get someone else with Backlund and Coleman here down the stretch. Someone commenting on the Flames. Well, your goalie is a little person and a butterfly goalie. That's what you get. Get rid of that AHL All-Star. I can't believe, and we only have a minute here and then I'll bounce. I can't believe the amount of people who are out on Dustin Wolf after this year. There has, like, any time he has been at the NHL level, there has been very little consistency to what has been going on. And now that he's been getting some consistent playing time, he's actually started to play better. And I thought last night, like, yeah, I would have wanted him to get that first goal 100%. I thought the rest of the game he was great. I thought there was a lot of chances in tight on him that he made some big saves on, and he was able to keep him in the game. Like, last night was not on the goaltender at all.
He stopped 25 of 27, and that's a 9.26. I don't know how you can look at that and say,
right,
that's a bad performance. But yeah, sure, he gets beat high a little bit. He's also just starting in the NHL.
Yeah.
And he's been great at every level. He's won MVPs at different levels. Give the guy a chance at least. Like, let him at least develop in the NHL. It's not like they've given him much of a shot yet. And finally, he's got that stretch. I mean, look what he did against Vegas. I will look at that game for a long time. That's the defending Stanley Cup champions. I don't care that they have injuries. That's a good team.
Yeah.
And Dustin Wolf was stellar against Evan. And so I really can't hear any of that.
No, I'm 100%. Get this guy some regular playing time next year, and he will, I think, prove a lot of people wrong. Obviously, you're enjoying some Flames talk here. You could enjoy even more of it with the Eric Francis Hour. You see him on Flames broadcasts and read him on sportsnet.ca. Eric Francis goes solo every Friday at 5 p.m. for Flames talk, the Eric Francis Hour. Eric isn't afraid to ask the tough questions to get the information Flames fans want. This is a must-listen for every Flames fan, and it's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18 plus, please play responsibly. It's wild I didn't read that at all. Memorized? Totally. All right. Those were our thoughts on the Calgary Flames game last night against the Buffalo Sabres. We'll bring Julian McKenzie in to continue the conversation as we continue next here on Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Back with Sportsnet Today, no Logan Gordon. He is working a couple hours later today. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
It's
Wildly uncalled.
I didn't know my mic was on.
You know how you said you just like throw something and just derail? It's like I was focused. I had an amazing intro going and now it's just like completely gone. Anyway, I'm Peter Klein. I don't know why we bothered. Can we just go to break? Flames lost to the Sabres last night. That was definitely a game that happened. Here to help us break it all down. You hear him everywhere. You see his writing on The Athletic. He is Julian McKenzie. Julian, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. I gotta admit, I'm kind of frazzled after that random interruption that took place. This is how the crew acts when Logan Gordon isn't here. That's kind of nuts.
Apparently, yeah. I've done my best to try to wrangle them all up, but it is just it's absolutely running wild in here today. I don't know what to do.
I've had to deal with this before. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to fill in for Logan at least once. I'm supposed to do that again later this week by myself. And if this is how the crew is going to act here, we're going to have to go about some disciplinary measures for Shan.
Yeah, we're going to have to not just be Department of Player Safety here in the NHL. We're going to have to actually dole out some punishment in here. But anyway, not to allow them to derail us anymore. We here are professionals. So, Julian, the Flames lost last night to the Buffalo Sabres. I said to open the show, last night was a perfect game for Team Tank because the game was, I thought, enjoyable to watch. They played hard. They battled. There were some positive things. And they lost in regulation. I guess your overall thoughts from the Flames' defeat at the hands of the Sabres of Buffalo last night.
Yeah, it's starting to get to that point where we're at the end of the year and a lot of us are just starting to count down the days until the season ends. And I mean, the players are going to do everything they can to play with pride, maybe play the role of playoff spoiler, especially with at least one team that's going to come up later this week in St. Louis. But yeah, this is what happens when you're how many points out of a playoff spot. You have to find ways to find that energy to get through it. And it just felt like one of those games where, yeah, they were in it at some points, but ultimately that third period where the Sabres were able to get the win in, I mean, that did them in. And you're right, if you are cheering for a higher draft position, that is going to help you in the long run. You're probably going to need a ton of more losses to head you in that direction and hope teams like Seattle don't continue to lose as well, or it might take you a little bit to catch up to Arizona as well. But I think if you're the Flames and you want a higher draft position in this year's draft, if you're a Flames fan anyway, you want that. I'm sure the Flames might tell you a little different. Yeah, you like that. You like that loss to Buffalo, and you hope that maybe it doesn't happen again against Chicago. I mean, then again, I wonder about that, right? Like, if you're on Team Tank and you have Chicago coming up on the schedule, do you want to lose to Chicago again? Is that something that you don't care about? Do you want that?
I feel like Team Tank is lose everything, right? Like, just absolutely. And look,
I guess it doesn't matter.
Not to be overly glib or anything, but they lost to Chicago when they were still trying. So I don't know.
Yeah,
like
it
feels like, oh boy, a loss to Chicago doesn't seem like the wildest thing that could happen here.
No, you're absolutely right when you put it that way. But yeah, we've entered that final stretch of the year where that's essentially if you're a Flames fan, I understand why you're rooting for that. If you're the players though, you're not engineered to lose. So they're going to have to finish strong if they want to at least kind of look back at these next few games and be like, hey, you know what, man? Like, we tried to at least finish strong. It didn't go the way that it did. They're going to say stuff like that. They're going to want that positivity. But we all know, especially for Flames fans, they want the opposite. I don't blame them for feeling that way, considering what draft picks have been like for this franchise and considering how high they've drafted before, which doesn't happen often with this franchise.
No, it really doesn't. For you personally, what are you looking for here, the last 11-12 games of the season? Is there a particular storyline, a particular group of players, or just anything in general that you're really going to be focused on here the last few weeks of the regular season?
Well, Dustin Wolf is at the top of my list. I think the fact that he is getting an opportunity to play NHL games, or at least just be in an NHL environment from now to the end of the season, this is the ideal time, and he knows it for sure, for him to get acclimated to how things run with an NHL team, get adjusted to NHL shooters and their high shots and positioning in front of the net and all that. And he ultimately has to take that time to show what he's learned throughout the year, show what he's learned over these last few weeks, and to make that job for Craig Conroy all the more difficult when it comes to figuring out if he should be a full-time NHLer next season. Because once the offseason hits, the biggest storyline is going to be Jacob Markstrom's future and Dustin Wolf's future. And by connection, Dan Vladar's as well. So that's going to be the number one storyline I'm going to look at. Obviously, with some of the newer players in the lineup, figuring out where they fit. A guy like Daniil Miramanov, who signed an extension after he got acquired here. Is he going to continue some of the performances we've seen since he's been traded here? Where does he fit long-term with this team? Where do some of the other younger players fit long-term? A guy like Matthew Coronado still up. How long does he stay up here until he gets sent down to the minors for the playoffs? Andrei Kuzmenko, I wonder about his future. I was listening to Pat Steinberg last night, and it was really interesting to hear him talk about whether or not he has a long-term fit with this team, because he has a lot of offensive skills and gifts that I think this franchise could use right now, but it doesn't seem as if there's an exact fit for him in the lineup. We've seen him on the fourth line. We've seen him on the first line. We've seen him kind of up and down the lineup. We've seen him out of the lineup. I'm really intrigued about how he finishes this season as well. But if you're asking me to rank them, which I know you didn't, but I'll just say that Dustin Wolf is definitely number one on the list of things I'm focusing on.
Yeah, I feel like he has kind of passed the AHL level for me, right? Like we have established he knows what he's doing down there, and anything that he is going to learn about the NHL level, I feel like has to be at the NHL level now, right? It's all the things you said. It's the shots are better here. The speed is different here. Like it's all of those things. You just can't replicate that at the AHL level. So I like that he's kind of got this particular run. I've been a bit surprised on how out on him a segment of this fan base has been, given the inconsistency around his opportunities this year. I guess specifically last night, what did you think of his performance against Buffalo?
Can't really fault it on him. Yeah. And then to your point, Logan and I have talked about how fans were pretty down on him. I think almost directly after that San Jose loss from last month, where he allowed all those goals and he looked a little distraught after that. That's when I think a lot of the doubts started to pour in on Dustin Wolf. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to provide that judgment at that time when he was playing games like once every few weeks.
Yeah.
I think that San Jose game was like his first game in like 2 months and 3 days. Now, at least in this situation, he's around the team, he's playing games, he's practicing every day with the NHL team. At least you can make a slightly better judgment, but I think we'll truly get a better sense of Dustin Wolf, you know, at least when he's more of an NHL regular. But we're starting to see around the league, right? Like, just because a guy's around a team for a year or 2 years, that's not entirely enough of a sample size to dictate whether or not they're good. I was thinking about, I was doing the CJ show today, and we were briefly talking about Charlie Lindgren. And I get it's a different size goalie, different type of goalie compared to Dustin Wolf. But this is a guy who was in the Canadian system for a handful of years, and people were wondering what his future was. And then he ends up in St. Louis, kind of around where they have Jordan Binnington. I think Joel Hofer was in that system too. And now he finds himself with the Washington Capitals, who are currently fighting for a playoff spot right now. And Charlie Lindgren, if I try to remember off the top of my head, I'm going to try to Google it as I'm finding this. This is a guy who's like 28 years old. This guy's like in his mid-20s. It takes time for goaltenders to emerge into their full selves. Charlie Lindgren is 30 years old. He was signed as an undrafted guy. Like, he's the guy who's 30 years old, and he's now starting to play some of the best hockey he's ever played. With a 912 save percentage. There's been some other years where he's looked better, but he's getting more time. And I get it. Different goalie from Dustin Wolf, but I'm just providing that example that a few games throughout a season, especially with them being so spread out and sporadic as they were, that is not enough of a sample size to dictate whether or not a guy is an NHL regular or not. And I think while the Flames need to give Dustin Wolf every opportunity to do that, and we'll see how it goes for them this offseason leading into next year, to just kind of look at what he's done this year and just say, all right, man, like, you're done. There's no way. Like, already there's the size thing, which already I get it. Like, considering where goalies are going, they're trying to be bigger and larger. But even then, like, he still had some solid moment. Even yesterday against the Sabres, he looked okay too. I just think there's more that needs to be needed in terms of a genuine sample size to dictate whether or not Dustin Wolf can be an NHL goaltender at the full-time level.
Well, I mean, even like look on this roster, like Jacob Markstrom, it is only recently that Jacob Markstrom has been this level of goalie, right? Like with Florida, we all thought he was going to get to that, and it never necessarily happened. And I know neither of us are saying, you know what, just give Wolf 8 years and eventually he'll figure it out. But like sometimes these things take more than, like you said, one game every 2 weeks to get established.
to your point too, Jacob Markstrom, when we spoke to him the other day, he straight up said like it took him like a decade to figure all of this out. Like he knows more than anybody that it takes time as an NHL goaltender for you to get your bearings and figure out your game. So if you want to express concern about Dustin Wolf and his size, I get it. I think the only other goalie, you know, there's only one goalie in the league who was shorter than Dustin Wolf who's played NHL games. You know what the answer is.
I don't.
UC Saros.
Oh, yeah. He's shorter than him, really?
Of course.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He's 5'11". He's shorter than Dustin Wolf is. Dustin Wolf is 6 feet. UC Saros is 5'11". All that to say, if you want to make that point that Dustin Wolf is too small and you have concerns and you're looking at where the goalies are trending in this league, okay, I can understand your concerns there. If you're just going to base it off of the handful of games he's played this year, I don't know. That's just way too soon. If you have a couple, if he has a couple years of games under his belt, I'd feel a lot more comfortable passing along a judgment about his future at the NHL level compared to what we've seen in what really the first real year where he's getting NHL time.
Yeah, no, we are in agreement on that. Also, the blue line in front of him has gone through a rather seismic shift over the last month or so. In terms of guys in the blue line, you mentioned Miramanov. Seems like he has played well. I think it was Tage Thompson kind of took his lunch money on one of those goals last night. But overall, it seems like he has played fine. What have you made of, I guess, the replacements on that blue line, the guys who have had more opportunities given the exodus on that blue line this season?
I think we're seeing a team that basically, because of all those seismic changes, they've had to plug in some guys to kind of make up for that difference. A guy like Joel Hanley is a bottom pairing defenseman, seventh defenseman. I think he's been fine. And we got a goal the other night. Like, I think he's been okay in that role. I keep flubbing the name, but Nikita Okoychuk, he's been okay too. I want to see a little bit more of the physical presence that Craig Conroy was really big on when they acquired him at the trade deadline. I mean, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel as if I've seen enough of that yet from him. So I'm still kind of waiting on that. Miramanov, I think of all the defensive replacements, has probably been the most impressive, mostly because of the offensive gifts. The skating ability is there. The size is there. We've seen him score goals with this team already. And talking to him, I talked to him a couple days ago. I'm amazed at his confidence. I don't know if you've ever heard him speak or if you've read any of the interviews he's done, but this is a young man who's really sure of himself and has a lot of confidence and truly just believes in himself. He has all these little affirmations that he goes back to, and he just really, really believes in himself. We did an interview with, I forget the name of the journalist from Las Vegas. And I think we know him on Twitter as Sin Bin Vegas. Hmm. And he's telling us this story from a couple years ago where he's being asked about some of the defensemen on the Vegas Golden Knights team. And he gets asked about Daniil Miramanov. And he's like, oh, I see him as an AHL guy. And Daniil Miramanov like tweets under him like, we'll see. Like he's a guy who spots that stuff and like he uses that as ammunition. Like I remember asking him about it and I think he remembers it a little differently. I think he kind of took that as if the journalist felt he wasn't going to make the league, but like that's a guy who definitely plays with a chip on his shoulder. And it's interesting to see him kind of play now where he's still getting adjusted to everything. I'd like to see him in a full season with the Flames and with all the defensive concepts and see how he plays under that. Also shout out to Shan, who gave me the journalist name. Ken Bolke is the name I was trying to think of the journalist we had a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nice. Look at that. Some teamwork going on here. Glad. Tried to derail me, but he sent a new tips. Like, I see how this is going here. I see. All right.
I don't know, man. It's kind of nuts, man. You just got to be nice to Shan, man. I mean, actually, no. I'm sure you've been nice to Shan. Shan just got to, he's got to chill. He's got to chill a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, noted. He ain't that bad.
Yeah, no, he's all right. I'm a terrible person. I've been mean the whole time, but I don't think that's...
No, you're not a terrible person, Kleiny. Don't do that. Don't do that, Kleiner. Don't do that.
Sorry. You'll know that's part of my charm as we go along here. But no, like on the blue line, like there are... Miramanov really interests me. And you see, like, when the Wranglers lines get tweeted out, basically the whole blue line, it's like, I'd be intrigued if that guy came. I'd be intrigued about that guy. Like, I'm already nerding out about training camp next year and the battle for the 5-6 slot. Because I feel like there are a lot of defensemen who I'm just intrigued to see what they could be on the NHL roster here in the next 12-18 months.
I agree. And I like that you said 18 months because it's very easy for people to look at the roster and be like, man, Jeremy Poirier, man, he's our number one defenseman next year. No, like, dude's just getting back after a hand laceration injury. Like, dude almost lost his hand. Like, let him finish the year and get his bearings in the playoffs, and we'll see what training camp is like. Artem Grishnikov, who I've only seen one game from him. I know I got to watch a little bit more film on him. The one game I got to watch, he showed some decent things defensively, but one thing I remember from Craig Conroy talking to him about him, they don't want to rush this guy. Maybe his ceiling is like a Chris Tanev light, but just to have a big defensive defenseman in their system, they could just let him develop his trade, and when it comes time for him to come up, he'll be ready. What about some of the other guys who aren't even on the roster yet? Like, when is a guy like Etienne Morin going to be ready? Like, I'd love to see what's going to be up for him. And also, of course, Hunter Pustevich, who has torn up the Ontario Hockey League. I forget the exact record he set in terms of the points that he pulled up with the Kitchener Rangers this year. But this is a guy who has shown the offense, and he's a right shot. That might be the most exciting defense prospect that this Flames team has entering these next few months. And also, of course, Yanni Yermo signing the other day with the Flames too, joining the stable of defensive prospects that they have. They have options. They have bodies. We're not going to see a situation where all of them are going to make the NHL roster next year. But if you want to watch Wranglers games and you want to see some of the future play, like, I mean, I can imagine people will say that every year, but next year, definitely, if you have a focus on the defensive prospects, there's enough to watch.
You just threw that one in so you could do the French accent twice. I know what you're doing there. I see what's going
on. That's how you say his name.
No, that's how you say his
Jeremy,
name.
Jeremy Poirier.
Jeremy Poirier.
Etienne Morin. Yeah, let's talk about him.
Old Patty Roy. But no, like, I do think that there's going to be a lot to look forward to about this team. And I think, like, with the big club as well, like, I think there's just a lot of intrigue. I don't know how great they're going to be. You mentioned Kuzmenko before when talking about players to watch. Shan and I, when I allowed him to speak, we talked about him in the opening segment. I find him so intriguing. His passing is so much better than I thought it was coming from Vancouver. Like, you see 39 goals and you think, like, okay, well, he's a goal scorer then. But there's a bit more well-roundedness to his game. I kind of said before, he's going to be a guy next year who my brain tells me it 100% makes sense that they have to trade him. But I'm going to be sad to see him go because so much of the skill set just really interests me. Where are you at on the former Vancouver Canuck now playing with the Flames top line?
Have you ever seen that guy in warm-up?
This is the second person to bring up warm-up. No, I haven't. No, I apparently need to get down to the Dome to watch warm-ups.
Go to the Dome and watch a game and watch this guy in warm-up. Maybe I haven't focused on enough players in warm-up. If Andrei Kuzmenko might be the best warm-up player I've ever seen. Because of just all the cool moves that he does. Like, he'll just, like, flick a puck up in the air and, like, literally kick it back off his skate back to the front. And I'm just like, what is this guy doing? Like, the skill set that he possesses as a player, the talent that he has, there are not a lot of players on this team that have that. Like, let's call it a spade here. You know this. I know this. The franchise knows this too. In terms of game breakers and guys with genuine off-the-wall talent and skill, like, the Flames need more guys like that to kind of, you know, elevate them as a team and elevate them as a franchise. They need those types of players. So when they got Andrei Kuzmenko and he showed off some of those gifts, I was like, wow, okay, like, he might not be the perfect player. He might not be that franchise savior, but the fact that he has those glimpses in his game, those flashes, it's like, wow, okay, he brings something different. The one thing I wonder with him, you mentioned well-roundedness. I'm still not convinced of him defensively. And I wonder I think that's the reason why he hasn't really found a fit. And he's been up and down and in and out of this lineup. And you also have to account for the illness and some injury stuff too. But, like, this is a guy who, if you put him on a team, well, actually, we don't even have to imagine that. A big chunk of the reason why he had all those numbers in Vancouver, remember, Bruce Boudreau was his first NHL coach.
Yeah.
And Bruce Boudreau is a guy who lets his offensive guys go. And then on a team with Rick Tocchet, where he wants his guys to play a more well-rounded game and nail some of the fundamentals down, you'll work guys hard. Look, they're seeing success, but for a guy like Kuzmenko, he didn't quite fit on that team. And I think, I'm not saying that Ryan Huska is Rick Tocchet, but he definitely wants his guys to play a more 360 type of game. Literally the first week he was there, he mentioned the fact that he wants Kuzmenko and everyone on that line with him and Sharon Govich and Huberto to play a team game. And everyone wondered if they're going to be able to do it offensively and defensively. If Kuzmenko is able to figure out that other side of his game, I mean, yeah, he turns into a much more valuable commodity at the deadline. But just off the offense, just off the way that he works the goal line, whether on the power play or at 5-on-5, like, he has talent. He has the ability. He has that goal scoring ability. Like, he seems like a fun guy to kind of be around, right? Like, he, you know, just the charm that he has. He says interesting a lot. Like, he, even though he doesn't have the full grasp of the English language, but like, he still finds a way to be this like humorous individual, at least when the media talks to him. And I get the sense that maybe the team might like him too. Like, he's a really interesting player, and I completely understand where you're coming from, where it's like, man, like, this guy has to go. He's like in his like 20s. You'll be a pending UFA. You got to get what you can get for him. But I think at this point, Flames fans might just have to enjoy the Andre Kuzmenko experience while they can, man. Like, he's shown some things in the little bit of time when he's been here where it's enough to label it as the Andre Kuzmenko experience. But definitely when you get a chance, go to a Flames game and watch him in warm up and just look at the stuff that he does.
A couple of things here. One, someone texted in about him and their phone auto-corrected Kuzmenko to Mango, and I'm going to try to make that the nickname now. We're going to try to make that happen because that's amazing.
Mango.
But yeah, like, I just like that there's such a skill set about him. And when I say well-rounded, I meant offensively well-rounded. He's not getting a Selke vote in his life, but offensively, there's a lot to be excited about there, I think, for him. Last one for you here. The whole season leading up to this has been about who's getting traded, trade. On the various platforms that you're on, I know you were talking about that basically every time you were anywhere. That has been the Flames experience. Now that it literally can't happen for a while, I guess, is it nice to not be focusing on who's leaving, or like, what do we focus on now post-trade here with this group?
Well, I'll say this, just as someone in the media who's had to write some of those stories, and it's not just, oh, okay, is this player going to get traded? It's, where could they be traded? Trade proposals. And then you have people in your mentions being like, yeah, this trade's completely unrealistic. Like, what are you thinking, buddy? Like,
yeah,
I'm glad that's over. And I also recognize that I'm saying that as a media person, and my job is to just write stories. It is nothing compared to what the players have had to go through, whether it's guys like Noah Hanifin or Chris Tanev or even Elias Lindholm or Nikita Zadorov, what they've endured throughout this season, wondering if, you know, they're going to stay with the Flames or if they're going to get re-signed or if they're going to get traded and whatever else they have going on in their lives. It's also nothing compared to what those players, those teammates, the guys who are still there, were going through, where they see their guys try to play through all of that. And all that pressure ultimately enters the room and they try to block it out. And that's like the 33rd team in the league. It's just all the pressure from all these guys possibly leaving. And because, you know, it's not just, okay, well, Noah Hanifin could leave. It eventually turned into a whole thing where people were wondering about Nazem Kadri's future and some of the other veterans in the lineup.
Yeah.
And people all over will just be like, well, you know, if Jonathan Huberdeau is playing all that well, maybe we could move that $10.5 million contract. Or what about this player? What about this player? Like, that's a lot, man. Like, I can't imagine what it's like being an NHLer and you have to find a way to block out that noise. And it's one thing to just, like, turn social media off. It's a whole other thing to show up in the locker room and have guys put microphones in your face and ask you those questions. I mean, I didn't even get into Jacob Markstrom's situation, right?
Yeah.
And like I mentioned earlier, like, that's going to be the big storyline this offseason. If this team is committed to a retool and they want to get better in the next how many years and they want to endure this pain, where does Jacob Markstrom fit in all of this? And he also holds all the cards in his hand with that no movement clause. Does Jacob Markstrom want to be a part of this? Is he cool with doing a tandem where it's going to be him and possibly Dustin Wolf in the back? Those questions aren't going to stop once we reach June. June's probably going to be the time when they all start to come up. I mean, the draft's going to be at that point. Then free agency won't be too far behind. There's a lot to be asked when it comes to him, but also some of the other players on this roster. But to answer your question, like, I'm kind of glad that's past us.
Yeah.
It could get exciting. There is a bit of a serotonin rush that does come when, especially on trade deadline day and all that stuff. But like, I'm over it. I'm cool with things being kind of chill right now and focusing on some other storylines.
Julian, man, I could do this all day. Thanks for stopping by a little bit, and we'll chat again soon.
Sounds good, my man. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. There is Julian McKenzie, Calgary Flames beat writer for The Athletic. You hear him here a couple times a week on Sportsnet 960 as well. I am way over time, so we're going to go. Haley McGoldrick is up next as we get ready to talk some March Madness here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.